Beyond the News Podcast.
This is Beyond the News Podcast. My name is Faith Dafa-Joseph. Welcome. Much ado about endorsements. From the Arewa Consultative Forum to the Northern Elders Forum to Ohaneze Ndigbo and Afenifere, political news filled with election updates circle around the sociocultural groups and the controversies surrounding endorsement news. On this episode, I speak to representatives of these groups and their influence in this general election. First, I speak with Dr. Dati Ahmed Baba. He is a spokesperson for the Northern Elders Forum, and we had quite an interesting conversation on the elections and the role, real or imagined, of these social cultural groups in the 2023 elections. Have a listen. Just ask now, have you endorsed anyone? That's the Northern Elders Forum.
No, we haven't. And we have very strong feelings about all these series of endorsements. That's our view. We have not endorsed anybody. We are not planning to endorse anybody.
You're not planning to?
No. What is endorsement? How do groups endorse a candidate?
Well, you say that this is a candidate that we want, and it's not like the Northern Elders Forum hasn't done that before.
No, sadly not.
You do it in 2015?
We supported, we worked for the presidency of Buhari in 2015.
In 2019? You worked against them, but you also, supported Atiku for 2019.
No, we didn't. Look, there were only two candidates in 2019.
There were not only two candidates.
Well, okay, there were only two candidates that were likely to become president. You either choose Atiku or you chose Buhari. We didn't want Nigerians to vote for Buhari because he didn't do well in his first term. And we said so, publicly and openly. And that meant, directly or indirectly, that we supported Atiku.
And in 2015, it also means that you endorsed, even if you don't want to use that word,
We worked for Buhari's presidency. We worked very, very hard. And we were very happy that we succeeded in getting him the presidency. What we weren't happy about was that he just abandoned the country after he became president.
So you don't intend to work for anybody this time around?
We would work for a candidate that we believe represents the best hope for rebuilding Nigeria. We are watching them.
So you haven't made up your mind just yet?
No, we haven't. We haven't, and it will take a long time. It's a long race. We would study them. We did have them, all of them, in Kaduna, and we put them through some very rigorous questioning. We allowed the world to share in this process. And what we're trying to do is to give ourselves and the North a chance to elect someone that we believe can solve the problems in the world.
Let's talk about the fact that, when you were talking about somebody, the criteria for people to come on, one of the things that you said was that, whoever is coming has to be able to address issues in the North. But then in the same breath, you have said you want somebody who will be good for, who will put Nigeria back together. So what is the major agenda, the North or Nigeria?
It has to be Nigeria. Look, the North is only the North because it's part of Nigeria. You have to rebuild Nigeria, even if you're also rebuilding the North. There are challenges and problems that various parts of the country have. And we come from the North, so naturally we pay close attention to insecurity, to poverty, to decaying infrastructure, collapsing economy, young people who are not going to school. We pay very close attention. We are Northerners, but we are also Nigerians. And we recognize the fact that you can't fix the North alone. And you can't fix it in isolation. And we recognize the fact that what is happening in the Southeast, for instance, affects the North in very basic ways, fundamental ways. Every inch of Nigeria is interrelated in one way or another. So the fact that we speak for the North doesn't mean we don't care about. I'm also a member of an organization called the Compatriots. Our job is to look after Nigeria and to remind Nigerians every once in a while that, listen, I mean, we may be Yoruba and Igbo and Nupe and Hausa and Ijo, but the bottom line is that we're Nigerian. What is failing, what we're doing wrong, is that we're grooming generations, with due respect, with apologies, your generation, We're bringing up Nigerians who principally identified by fractions, their ethnic origin, their state of origin, their religion. And we are not grooming citizens of Nigeria, people who believe they are Nigerian, who will take some pride in being Nigerian, who will take demands of who will make demands of their country without necessarily shedding blood or breaking the law. People who believe that the future belongs to them. That's what we're
that's a Nigeria you're looking
producing
for.
Producing a Nigerian citizen. Hmm. And we have to get back to that route. We must address Nigeria and the Nigerian citizen. We must recreate the Nigerian citizen. We grew up as Nigerians. We identified with this country. We had a good country to grow. And now we don't feel it is right to just walk away and abandon the country to young people who don't know anything about the history of this country. They don't know how this country was put together. They don't know what we went through to get here. All they know is that it's not a country that is delivering on their faith, on their dreams. They're angry, they're frustrated, and they have a right to be. It's not, it hasn't been a very good country for anybody for a long time. But I say to every once in a while, when your house leaks, you fix the leak. You don't demolish the house.
True. But let me ask you this, because every time people talk about this, and I've heard you say it, I mean, you've alluded to it right now as we're talking about how ethnicity and religion should not be the focal or driving force of this election, of how anybody is going to vote. It should be about competence. It should be about who is mentally, physically, and all of that fit to carry the nation. But Nigeria is a multi-ethnic, you know, society. It's not going to be possible for people to ignore their tribes, ignore their religion when it comes to making these decisions. Are you asking for the impossible from Nigerians, that, oh, do not think about your ethnicity, do not think about your religion, let's just go for this person? Is it not just denying what the reality is, that we are always going to be multi-religious, multi-ethnic people?
No. We should be ethnic groups and Nigeria. There's no contradiction. And we're not denying the fact that Nigeria is a country made up of multiple ethnic groups, multiple religions. In itself, that is not a problem. Where it becomes a problem is where you believe that your identity alone should determine everything else you do. And that is wrong. And for the North, we've demonstrated this many, many times. Let me remind you, 1992, I don't know whether you remember this or not, but in 1992-1993, the country elected a southerner, Chief Abiola.
Overwhelmingly.
Yeah, overwhelmingly. And he defeated his running mate, who is from Kano, in Kano State, 1992. In 1999, the North rallied behind a southerner, substantially using his votes. And we voted for a southerner, President Obasanjo. In 2011, the North voted for Jonathan. It's not a new thing for Northerners to vote for someone from another part of the country. By the same token, people from the southern part of the country have voted for Northerners as well. So it's not a big issue. It's now, the problem is more pronounced now, because we all seem to be retreating to our ethnic enclaves. And the politics is becoming more about your tribe and your ethnic group and your faith. And that is very dangerous. Because what this does is that it hinders the search for quality.
But when you say it hinders the search for quality, I'm going to take you back to 2015 when you endorsed, President Buhari. And there was that issue about, there's actually a news report that quotes, Angela Abdoulaye saying that we need a Northern president now. It's the turn of the North. But in 2022, you're saying nobody should say it's our turn. We should just focus on the competence or what. Is that not double standards? That when it suits you, you say, oh, we want a Northern president. And when it doesn't, oh, can we have everybody else?
Well, Angu Abdoulaye has been a founding member of the PDP. That statement was made in the context of his position
as a party PDP member.
Yeah, past the party.
Oh,
member.
Interesting.
And in the Northern Elders Forum, we recognize the fact that members can hold opinions, political opinions, and act in partisan terms, but the group itself is non-partisan. We campaigned for
So he wasn't speaking for the Northern Elders Forum at the time, saying that it was the turn of the North.
He spoke as a PDP person. But look, the point is that we have, in 2015, we unapologetically and openly campaigned for Buhari because we believed that he was better than Jonathan. In 2011, just 4 years before then, Northern vote substantially contributed to Jonathan's victory over Atiku. So Northerners, the people of the North are not against the emergence of a Southern president. What we've consistently said is don't put these kind of artificial barriers and damaging barriers before people. Allow the voter to decide what he or she thinks represents the best for their interests.
Let's talk about, you responded to Anizi, with that, saying that they should not, you called the statement destructive and all of that. You said it wasn't a good statement that was put out by one of the leaders of Ohanese, talking about it was a turn of the Igbos. If the Igbos did not get it, Nigeria would not have peace. And you responded to that, saying this exact same things. Although Anizi has come out to say that was his personal opinion and they're not the ones saying that as well. Does that mend the fences? Is that...
I think there was some glitch. Apparently, someone had been speaking for Anizi. And Anizi had not made it clear that he wasn't their spokesperson.
Okay.
This guy consistently makes very inflammatory comments. We have an excellent relationship with the leadership of Anizi. We quarrel with every once in a while. We are also elders. We know when to fight and we know when to make peace. So we have mended fences. One of the things we said in that statement, which was not out of anger, is we think it's bad politics for ethnic groups or leaders of ethnic groups to begin to identify candidates from their ethnic group and say he's ours. What we ask for is tell us why he's yours, because he's not going to be president of Yoruba,
yes,
or the North. And if you keep insisting on this ethnic thing, everybody comes from some ethnic group or some region. What you're going to do is that you will now force us to make a choice on the basis of ethnicity or our religion, and that is not what Nigeria needs. Right now, the country is on its knees. It needs to get up. It needs to work for the citizens of this country. And I'm telling you, it's not a tea party. Whoever is going to take over from the damage that President Buhari has done to this country had better be very good in person, has to have a lot of integrity, has to have the energy, mental and physical, to run this country, and has to have the support of everybody. If we quarrel to a point where we produce an ethnic or regional president, he was going to spend half of his time just keeping the country together. That is not good. And Nigerians all want a good president. Everybody wants a good president.
So of all the candidates now that, you have seen, you don't think anybody embodies all of this qualities you're talking about?
In their own ways, everybody will show you and tell you that, give me Nigeria and I can run it well.
It's a campaign, so they put their best foot forward.
And we listen and we say, okay, we are watching. And we are watching very critically. We are following all their campaigns. And that's why when we started in Kaduna, we started with a very high, the bar was very high. We asked them some really difficult questions. For instance, we asked them, why do you want to be president? Why, tell us. Everybody would like to be president of Nigeria, but why you and why now? What is it about you that makes you want to be president? Two, what would you do if you become president? Tell us, what would you do? What can, in specific terms, what would you do if you become president? And thirdly, why should we trust you? You can say all sorts of things now, and we would end up with another Buhari. Get all the votes twice, and you just retreat into the villa and leave the country to rot. That's what we want to avoid, and this is what every Nigerian wants.
True.
The worst thing you can do for this for the next president is to ethnicize that person. It's not a good thing for him, for even the ethnic group he comes from. But they would like, everybody would like one of their own to be a good president to them, and as well as a good president for the country. And this is why we keep saying, please and please, lower the ethnic noise down. Lower the religious tones down.
Mm.
Allow candidates to sell themselves to everybody. Allow them to go where they can campaign. Allow Nigerians to see them as they are. And let the voters decide. Not violence, not intimidation, not threats, not fear.
I think it was a few weeks ago or a couple months ago, the spokesperson for the APC presidential, campaign, I think that was Mr. Francis Keamo, he made statements, talking about Northern Elders Forum, talking about, well, how relevant are you? How much influence do you have over anybody? Who are you to tell anybody who to vote for? You don't speak for the North. What you think or what you say does not determine any outcome. And you responded to that, okay, if that's what he thinks. But I want you to respond to that again now, because a lot of the times, these groups, these tribal groups, in quotes, sometimes the question actually does arise, how much influence do you have, really?
Well, let me take you back to that comment. The APC spokesperson and I appeared in a program. And he was asked by the anchor of the program. He says, Dr. Baba Amir is here, and he says they have invited all the six of the leading presidential candidates to Kaduna. And what would you have to say? And Keamo said, well, Northern Elders Forum, nice, fine gentleman. Dr. Hakim, I like him. I would like to be like him when I grow up. My problem with the Northern Elders Forum is that they are not on the ground. They don't control people. They supported, they opposed Buhari in 2019, and he became president. So I don't think the Northern Elders Forum speaks for the North. My response there was to say, fine, no problem, I'm not going to quarrel with you. We have invited Tinubu, your candidate, along with five others. I would like to see Tinubu also say the same thing. So the test of this whole thing was, would Tinubu turn up at Kaduna, invited by this same group that are irrelevant. And what happened? Tinubu turned up. And I don't know what Keamo would thought about it. I didn't want to gloat over it because this issue was very important. Mm. Tinubu came, Atiku came, Kwankwaso came, Obi came, Kola Abiola came. And we had an excellent outing. No one has been able to do that kind of thing. And I don't think anybody will be able to do that.
But here's the thing.
Now, hold it.
Yes.
If we are irrelevant, and we are nothing, we don't control anything. Can you imagine what it would take to get all those people to turn up in Kaduna for 2 days and be put under very, very close scrutiny? I don't want to take on, he's my younger brother, Pastor Keamo. But the facts spoke for themselves.
But he is right, though, when he says you opposed the president in 2019 and he won.
Yes. Not a big deal. The popularity of someone or your influence doesn't stop with one election. This is the key issue. There's a lot more to Nigeria than elections. Our democratic process has shrunk to a point where it's just about elections and politicians. That is sad. I went to an event, something to do with the talk, not fight. And there were a number of EU people. I made this point that the rest of the world spends a lot of money to sort of police our democratic process, improve the electoral process, and establish the foundations for good governance. And yet they walk away from some of the worst elections they can see. And that is irresponsible. If you can spend all this money, show all this interest in our democratic process, why on earth won't you say an election which is so badly run is a bad election? Say it. Don't just give us secret or confidential reports to say your problems are not there. So our democratic process is broken. 2023 is a very good point at which we can make a U-turn. INEC has done well. We believe they've done great work, and they should be supported. But the political environment in which they are going to do that election is very challenging. Security is a challenge, corruption is a challenge, the conduct of the presidential candidates and other candidates is very threatening. And young people particularly have been shut out they'd be left to just get angry and frustrated, and they just crowd follow us. And some of the danger with that is if you don't integrate them and make them useful and stakeholders beyond an election, some of them may see the end of Nigeria in this election and think, if we don't get our way,
what's the point? Yes. You said INEC has done well, but if there are like different issues that have been raised, you know, with INEC presently talking, a lot of points have been made about registered voters, especially in the north, talking about underage voters, people who registered to be part of the election. You don't think that puts a dent on the credibility of INEC? You're saying they've done really well.
No, at all. I don't think so. I mean, I come from the north. We've said to everybody, these things didn't start now. We've been going over this thing for years and years and years. We ask everybody, please, in the name of God, why don't you do something? If you're sure toddlers and children today on social media, I saw a child of about 5, just alone, holding a voter's card.
A PVC.
And I've seen lines of almajiri. These are the children who beg for food. Literally, maybe 20 or 25 of them, lining up the way we know they line up to get food. Not one of them was holding a card. And these pictures are splashed, and they say, look at the children voting. If you know the children vote, do the responsible thing. Expose it. Show the evidence. But it's very irritating to hear people say, Northerners don't really have the numbers. They just give foreigners and children cards to go and vote. We just dismiss this kind of thing. We say to people, forget it. If you can't prove it, please go away.
So you were saying that, yes, the Northerners definitely have the numbers. The North definitely has the numbers.
But the North does have the numbers.
The president
but
of the country.
But the North does have the numbers. The North cannot determine the president alone. Nobody can. No north, no south. You need support from all parts of the country. The constitution is very demanding in terms of what it takes to be.
Is it demanding enough, though? I was having this conversation with somebody. You know that yes, you have to have 25% from 24 states. So what that also means is that you are able to cut off two regions. You know, so basically, if you look at the 6 region geopolitical zones, you are able to cut off 2 if you're able to get 4.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily mean that. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's inclusive enough. If you're going to talk about the constitution being demanding and inclusive, it should be 25% from every region, and then you will be inclusive. But now, every candidate can think, cut out 2.
We don't have reason.
Well, the geopolitical zones, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
because
they are not legal entities.
They're not legal entities. But I'm just saying that if you look at how the numbers add up, you can decide, I'll forget about this, and I'll just get 4 of this one, and then I'm fine.
Yeah,
that doesn't promote
the
inclusivity.
Think like that. And the truth about it is that
you think they do not think like that?
No, and I'll tell you why. No region is so monolithic that it votes entirely together.
En bloc.
No. Never. It's never been done. Even in one of the most, in 2015, which was the election that showed the highest response of the North, for instance, behind one particular candidate, he needed votes from the South-South, from the Southwest and the Southeast, and he got them. That's what gave him the presidency. And there were still non-APC governments in the North as well. So there's no way in the world any candidate will even plan unless he doesn't know its country. Let me get 4 zones. It doesn't work that way. You have to work hard to convince enough Nigerians. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing those the people who designed the constitution made that provision, because it means that no matter how much you want your candidate, you need to do some of the heavy lifting. And what does this mean? Going out to other parts of the country, convincing other Nigerians to vote for him, not because he's one of yours, but because he's the best. If you keep selling him as, he's Igbo, for instance, or he's Hausa or Fulani, and he's one of ours, other people will also say, okay, fine, let everybody
Let's
vote
do that
for
too.
Their own.
True.
And that's not good for this country, because it's a president of Nigeria. He's not going to be an ethnic
president.
And we don't want that. It doesn't matter who you support. There has to be a time when the country comes first.
Okay. Thank you so much, Dr. Ahmed.
Well, after listening to Dr. Dafi Ahmed, and of course, what he says is the relevance of the Northern Elders Forum I speak to Dr. Alex Ogbonnaya, the National Publicity Secretary of Ghanaese Indigo International, and they have publicly endorsed Peter Obi as the candidate for the 2023 elections. And this is unlike the Northern Elders Forum. So I ask him why they did that and how Ghanaese got to this point where they decided that the person getting the endorsement is Peter Obi, and how significant is the endorsement of Ghanaese in the 2023 elections. The 2023 elections is just around the corner, and definitely there's a lot of mobilization. There's a lot of, you know, education going on so people know the right thing to do. Now, Ghanaese Indigo is a very important sociocultural organization and has had a very pivotal role to play in several elections. I want to talk first about the issue of endorsement of Peter Obi. Ghanaese Indigo, alongside other groups, have endorsed Peter Obi as their candidate for the 2023 elections. Can you tell me how you decided to do that? Is it just because he's an Igbo person or because you feel he's competent?
In the first place, the issue of presidency,
yes,
in Nigeria for a long time, the issue of rotation and zoning have been introduced as part of the political system in Nigeria. So it's a rotation between the north and the south. So this agreement was reached a long time ago at the demise of Abacha. So the Abacha took over. Thereafter, he went to the north, Yaragua, and thereafter, he was down south. After that, he had to go back to the north. Now he's coming down to the south. Other components of the south have assumed the office of the president, except the southeast. So common sense and, of course, equity had recommended southeast to position of the presidency, and we kept on the table that is the term for the presidency. So at a point it became the collective people aspiration. So when eventually now we began to think of a candidate and somebody emerged, looking at the person that emerged and the track record of his track record of accomplishments and also the what he has on the table as a policies and programs, ideas is already bringing on top. So evidently, we discovered that of all the people contending for the presidency, he stands out eminently. So it's an exceptional, especially when you look back to when he was governor of Anambra State, how he managed the resources of Anambra State, how he brought morality to bear on governance. So comparing that accomplishments, we discovered that he stands out.
Okay.
Number two, he's young, vibrant, intelligent. Number three, one can now say that age is on his side. Above all, he appeals to the greatest number of people in Nigeria today. And when you talk about this structure, he's a man who is coming with a very different agenda that is capable of changing whatever structure you have in Nigeria. What you have called a knee on the neck. The structure that held us down, the structure that pressed us down. The people and Nigerians are now thinking about how to change that structure that has held us down.
All right, sir.
It is very sad that we seem to be as a man who will be able to change that structure that held us down. For a new Nigeria, but
okay, sir. Yeah, so I get that. But let me ask you this. You have put out all of the qualities that makes him stand out and why you chose to endorse him. But there are a lot of Southeast politicians that are not on board. You know, there are a lot of Southeast politicians that are in other political parties and have voiced it out that they will work against him. How does that now play out with the fact that you're supporting him as a social cultural organization, but top Southeast politicians are not?
There's a misconception in that. For example, I and my wife, we have about four children. The four children on one side, and I and my wife are on the other side, for example. Who has the majority? I'll be honest, sir. So the truth is that some of these people are already in their political parties, like in Dominion APC, those in other parties, this and that. So it is extremely difficult to begin to think that they should resign from their political parties or stop playing the role they are supposed to play in their respective parties. So it is a difficult thing, really. Because you can see the Labour Party is a new party.
Yes.
It is never, it has never had that kind of structure. One would think of this or that. But all these other parties like APC and PPP, they have been in existence for a long time with full ownership and membership. So it is inconceivable that people like Umahi or Hook or so on would just resign from their parties and join a Labour Party. Mm. It is not expected. If you had watched the social media when our brother, the governor of Anambra, met on brush on, you see how he was voted against that.
Mm.
So 90% of people are with, I don't know who we are looking for.
You are saying that these people don't really have as much influence, even if they are top politicians, to sway people from the person you have endorsed.
No person can compromise whatever you call a flourishing or influence.
Mm.
No evil in his full heart will compromise the people of BSS.
Let's talk about the unrest. There's unrest in different parts of the country, whether it's the north or the south. But because I'm talking to you now, I'm going to focus on the one happening in the southeast. Just recently, we had the INEC offices burnt in Imo State. We have had, you know, INEC offices burnt before in Anambra and places like that. How does that affect, you know, the elections? Is this something that as elders, as a social cultural organization, you can step in and find a way to nip in the bud? Or, you know, will this kind of unrest now cause, you know, low turnouts or even elections not being held? I want to get your views on that and how it affects the elections.
A great number, it could get some evil youths. Saying that instead of saying that you have to continue with second-class treatment orchestrated by the lopsidedness of the Buhari appointment and resource allocations against the Southeast, that instead of staying there to be, continue to be humiliated, then it's better that go away in what we call agitation for Biafra. To talk people around, there's no need for election, there's no need for whatever we are doing in the country. But I can tell you that they are in minority. That in the past, they had even said there will not be election in Anambra when it was Obiano, when it was Soluto. But eventually, we continue to convince them, we were able to talk to them, and understood the reasons why there will be election. So, in spite of whatever they are doing now, it's just well to express their anger and their agitation. But ultimately, the greater majority will convince them to back out from what they are doing. So, I am very confident that the people who are doing this now, it will not continue. Parties don't continue. There are a few deviants. There are not so many.
Hmm.
So, this will eventually prevail on them to stop.
Okay.
So it's not the first time they are burning a facility. It happened in the past, but in fact, that the election stay held. And if you said that they will back down, it will not continue.
Okay, sir. Let's talk about Simon Epa. I saw a report about Owanize calling for the arrest of Simon Epa, who of course has been ordering a seat at home, talking about no elections in Igbo land. Can you tell me a bit about that and what Owanize intends to do? Are you following through with the call for his arrest?
Google, you see where we say Simon Epa, are you a villain or a hero? Are you a hero or a villain? We advise that what he's doing is makapa dance. It's on his own. We are not supporting what he's doing. We have already asked people from his community, local government, state, to ring him in that what he's doing is something that is devastating and is causing deaths and havoc in Igbo land. In fact, every reasonable person in Igbo land has reason to condemn what Simon Epa is doing. And like you know, all this is that parties cannot stay for long. So what he has done or what he's doing is not acceptable, it's condemnable, it's speakable, and something that I'm very certain will not last.
Let's talk about the seat at home. When do you think that will end? When do you think people will be able to come out on Mondays without being afraid?
Well, that has been very contentious. A group of people are saying that it will have to use it to express the evil position in Nigeria. You know, and to see how we can use it to convince Buhari to embark on political solution to Nnamdi Kanu issue. That if he's relaxed, it will mean that the Igbo spirit towards the wizard, Igbo spirit towards the whole thing has relaxed. So that's a group of people who are saying that. But I know it affects the economy. But all this is all the totality of all this is an expression that things are not working well in Igbo land.
Okay.
And what is the source of it? Marginalization, alienation from centers of power, lopsided appointment against the temple, and unnecessary Igbophobia.
Do you think people who
find themselves everywhere, they go three nooks and corners of the place, get themselves assimilated in every community, making part in economic development or wherever they are found? All over Nigeria, you find them at home with those communities. They don't make trouble.
What do you think about INEC and how INEC is performing so far?
Well, personally, I have my own opinion about INEC. Unfortunately, that opinion of INEC is not something that goes down well with many people. But the fact remains that INEC, like electoral management body all over the world, is always supposed to be entirely independent and neutral.
Yes.
But in our own circumstance, our own INEC is not independent, is not neutral. The chief executive appoints the members of INEC, electoral body. So the chief executive appoints and how do you expect it to be neutral?
So you're not expecting INEC to be neutral in this election?
Well, like you see what is happening. Sometimes the comments are made about the PVS and things like that. I'll be surprised by God's grace if by God's grace we clap for them.
Okay.
We commend them.
You said people should vote where they registered, vote where they are. Are you saying that, you know, people should not bother traveling home, just vote wherever you are?
No, when they tell you that the South East registered list, I laugh at them, they don't know the implication of what they're saying. When they took our account, we discovered that we have about 15 million Igbos in the northern region. About 5 million Igbos in the southwest, and so on and so forth. How can they play double? How can they be in the north and the south at the same time? So our people are scattered all over the places, and that Igbo preponderance all over, we call to use when it comes to election time.
Okay.
So wherever they are, they should go there. They shouldn't bother coming here. They should vote where they are registered.
Thank you so much, Dr. Alex Ogbonnaya. I really appreciate the time. Afenifere has been immersed in several controversies in recent times, from, you know, different endorsements going on. Pa Adebanjo, the leader of Afenifere, has come out of court to endorse Peter Obi openly, talking about it being the right thing to do considering equity and inclusiveness. And you had the other issue with Pa Fashorati, who has not walked back his comments about, you know, the leader of Afenifere actually being Pa Adebanjo. So I talked to him briefly about how we got here and if his endorsement of Afenifere for Peter Obi will actually make a difference. Here is the conversation.
What role does Afenifere play exactly when you're talking about these elections? There's a lot of talking about endorsements and all of that. How important is an endorsement from Afenifere?
Then the question of how important Afenifere is to stakeholder the question of uniting Nigeria. This election is to decide whether Nigeria will remain one or not. And if there is one of those who believe it must be one, there must be equity, there must be justice, there must be inclusiveness. The section of the country cannot be excluded from being the president of the country. If that is done, there will be no unity. That is standing of Afenifere. You can go and look for the statement I made. Why Afenifere support the Southeast? It's a purely constitutional, ideological, and equitable principles.
Okay, sir. Is it because it is Tinubu that the APC presented that you're supporting, that you're not supporting him?
I am not supporting APC or Tinubu on principle.
Okay.
Tinubu comes from the southwest.
Yes.
Where on the principle that the consistency for the past 71 years before we got independence, the principle I'm standing on is the principle on which our law founded the action group. Tinubu is disqualified because of the principle of a equitable rotation we have established in Nigeria.
Hmm.
The Southwest has had its role when we are agitating for equal representation of presidency. And the Babangida regime deprived Abiola. So when they want to pacify the West, they brought in a Shoneko. I would say Shoneko is not a man. They went to the prison to bring his Obasanjo to pacify the West.
Yes.
We didn't suppose it, but because we don't expect them to choose for us.
Hmm.
To allow the Southwest. Yeah, if I want you to follow the argument, because all sorts of people, I know you formulate it. I am involved in the team from the beginning. All those who are talking now, many of them were told that you were not born at the time.
Yes, sir.
So they don't know the principle under which are very, very standing. Not on any sentiment now.
Okay.
So when that one was done, they now brought Obasanjo in 1999. When Obasanjo finished his term, the Adwa came in, he went back to the north. Are you following?
Yes, sir.
When the Adwa died, he came back to the south. He went to Jonathan. When Jonathan is fine, he came back to the north. Why he came in? Well, he has just done 8 years now. He's coming back to the south. Should you go to the south again, the southwest again? Or should you go to the south-south? The south is not part of the south. That is the principle on which I came from the south.
Principle based on equity.
Equity, inclusiveness.
Oh. So, what happens with, you know, the idea of factions in Afenifere? Does that matter?
The question of factions doesn't come in now.
Okay.
I'm talking about why does Afenifere support Southeast? And that principle of the Southeast. So, there's not going to be another section now. There's no faction in Afenifere.
What about Pa Fashorati saying that he supports Tinubu?
When Tinubu went to him and said he supports Tinubu's the leader, then the further statement said that he didn't say I'm not the leader. He misrepresented him.
Yes.
He only prayed for me. He didn't say I'm not the leader. I've seen the leader and the leader immediately continued to be held in my place. And that's what is happening now. So what he was trying to express that he came to him as a senior citizen and he blessed him, you know. That does not bring any factions to Afenifere at all.
Okay, sir. Let me ask you about INEC and, you know, how INEC is going about this and the kind of attacks that INEC has been experiencing, even in the Southwest recently in Ogun State. You know, he had
I have no control over INEC. I'm only employing INEC as others with the government to ensure there's a free, fair, and credible election. The question of security to make it free, fair, and credible is in the hands of INEC and the government of the day.
Okay, sir.
Whatever they agree, it's there. It's all they do that they are going to judge.
Hmm.
Whether they are sure about it, it's you, president, should be watching. Whether that is consistent with the independence or with the neutrality, with the clarity, with transparency and all that.
Yes,
that
sir.
Is the job of you first estate of the rep.
Yes,
you are not going to be partisan.
Absolutely, sir. Thank you very much, sir.
Beyond the News Podcast with Faith.
From the Northern Elders Forum to Ohanaeze Ntigbo and also to Afenifere, we know that the social cultural groups, they have a huge following, they bear some influence. Now, will the influence be enough to direct people on who to vote for and how to vote is another thing entirely. The 2023 election is around the corner, and every candidate is mobilizing and trying to get support from different groups and endorsement from different groups. Two groups have come out to endorse openly. The NEF is saying, hold on, we're watching, we're not going to issue out a formal endorsement. But we would see how all of these play out for 2023 elections. Do people, do Nigerians actually listen to these groups? Do they really hold as much influence? Or is it just a talking point that comes up during election season? Well, we'll find out in 2023. Thank you for listening to this episode of Beyond the News podcast with Faith Afe Joseph. The show was produced by Lai Glover and executive produced by Ayodele Adio. You can find this podcast on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Beyond the News podcast with Faith.